My guest on this episode of the Circle of the Panda podcast is Alex Lewis. I have watched Alex grow up. She is one of those people, when you're around her, you go, there's just something unique and there's something special. So in this episode, I just said, I'm going to ask you that question, Alex, one question, and then I'm going to hit the record button and see where it takes us. She says in this episode, if this recording helps one single person, it's good enough. This recording with her has altered my view of several things, and I know it's going to be impactful for you as well. So listen in, and thank you again, Alex Lewis, for sharing your time with me. Alex, thank you for being on the podcast with me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here.
Yes, I want to catch you off guard a little bit, but I've known you, I get probably since you were one or two. And we have never really had much of a one-on-one conversation.
No. And
here we go. So we're going to do it and record it and post it. So how much fun is that going to be, putting you on the spot? No, but here.
I'm excited.
Yes. Now, here's the thing. So, you know, I haven't told you this before, but sometimes I'll sit around the house and Robin and I will go, just randomly, I'll go, I love Alex. And she'll go, I know you do. I know you do. I do too. And so oftentimes on this podcast, I will go, I'm curious about someone and I want to know more.
Mm-hmm.
And I started when you were in town last time to go, when you were at your grandparents' house, we were together. I said, Robin, if I get the chance, I'm just going to get one-on-one with Alex and say, you know what? What's going on? And this is where it's going to be a little embarrassing for you. And I'm not even going to apologize for that. There's some people that when they're in a room or walk in a crowd, there's just something different. Everyone recognizes it. We all are curious about it, or most of us recognize it. Well, Alex, you're one of those. And I've seen it since I first met you, is there's just something different about Alex Lewis. So we're recording.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? What's going on with Alex Lewis?
Well, first of all, this is just great because I am a sucker for deep conversations. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know what would make me different or stand out. I do know that from a very, very, like, very young age, I just had an understanding of life is one day at a time, not to take anything for granted. And I felt God's presence with me from a very young age. Like, even before I truly understood how to pray and how to rely on Him and how to bring Him my struggles, I always felt His presence with me, like, always. And so, for those listening, the reason I say that, that I had that understanding from a young age is because my mom passed away during childbirth. And so, you know, now being a teacher of third graders and having an almost 3-year-old and a 10-month-old, it's very eye-opening for me to make those connections. You know, I actually just had last week, I had one of my students, my sweet boys, his dad passed away. And, I could just tell at school, like, you know, you're just too young to process something that extreme and that life-changing. And I am so thankful for the blessing of, I hate that God took my mom too soon, but I'm so thankful for how He did it, because I just looked at this sweet boy in my class and how, you know, his dad was his world, his baseball coach, and he didn't break down till he was at the funeral. And I think that's what made it real. And I'm so thankful that God saved me that heartache. Mm. You know, did. He saved me that heartache of having such a bond with my mom and then losing her and having to grieve in that way. And even though it is such a sad thing and that I would give anything just to have had like one conversation with her, I'm just overwhelmed with gratefulness that he saved me from that kind of heartache. And so that takes me back to being so young. I would look at other kids when their mom could come to the Mother's Day brunch. I'm like, I wish you knew how lucky you were. Like, you're just living your normal everyday life, but I would give anything to have what you have. Mm-hmm. You know, so that started really young for me, just appreciating things and really appreciating who God did put in my life and who he used to influence me, and just the power of grandparents taking you to church and things like that. You know, I just always felt him with me.
You've opened the door for me to ask a couple of questions, and don't stop speaking. I mean, cut me off if I ask one that takes you off the track. Yeah, the hardship that you encountered very early on. Do you ever think sometimes we go through things like that so we could recognize a very similar issue in somebody else and then provide comfort or support, like you mentioned?
Absolutely, because you know, for a while, I kind of was like, is it okay that my dream is just to be, I just want to be that teacher that's taught at the same school for 30 years. And I teach you and I teach your kids and I teach your cousins. And I'm like, that is like, I do feel like everything in my life has shaped me to be a mom and a teacher. And I see the impact I can make on these kids because I understand. So, you know, my sweet Corbin, who just lost his dad, it's different when I give him a hug and tell him I love you so much and I'm here for you. It's just different because I get to say, what would I have needed? Like, what would have gotten me through this at this age? What would have helped me? What would I have needed to hear? You know, and he comes from an amazing family. I don't know them well enough to know how much God has talked about. And if it's my responsibility to say, you know, like, I just want you to know, like, even in the hard times, like, Jesus is with you. I want you to know he loves you. And I'll pray every night and just ask God, like, just speak through me. Whatever he needs to hear, say it through me. Like, I just give it all to God. Speak through me.
Speak through me.
I'm like, I don't want the words to come from me. You know what I mean? So I don't want to rely on myself. So even before doing this, I'm like, God, like, speak through me today. I don't want the responsibility of what my message should be. Like, God, speak through me. Because even if it's just one person listening, that it makes a difference, then we've done our job, right?
Exactly. One person. Right now, people are looking for callings or purpose or, you know, what am I supposed to do with my life? And what you just basically said is, if I can repeat it back, is it doesn't have to be some great, you're a movie star, you're a TV star, you're a world, you know, you're a CEO. It can be, here's what I heard you said. If I'm a teacher for 30 years and I have the ability to make a difference in those kids' lives, that is a wonderful calling. Sometimes I think it's a better calling than the ones I just mentioned.
And it's enough, you know, and you can't put a price on peace. And I feel like that is what I have learned in the past year is how to listen to God and how to trust Him and how to feel the presence of His peace. And you can't put a price on peace. Like my husband and I were talking and was like, you know, I feel like I used to always say, you know, like the best gift God has ever given us is forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I do feel now that I am like living in God's peace, I think that is the best gift He can give us, is like this sense of peace.
I'm sorry. You said you just can't put a price on it. Is that what you said?
Yeah, you can't.
How do you stay there with all that's going on around you? How do you stay in His peace?
Well, with everything I have been through, and also I'm the type of person, if I was not a teacher, I would 100% be a therapist, psychologist. I am, like, my husband Grant makes fun of me all the time. I can never just talk to someone, you know, like if I'm on the airplane and I have someone I don't know sitting next to me, by the time I get off, I'm going to know, like, you know, I'm going to know your whole life story. And I'm going to know, like, because I want to figure out why you are the way you are. I want to get to the root of things. And getting to the root of things with myself has been so healing for me. Because when you do that, when you think about, like, where does this stem from? Where do these feelings come from? And it's the work. Nobody wants to really go back and think about their childhood, but it's important that you think about it with the mindset of, instead of, why did that happen to me? Like, what was God doing for me?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've always had that frame of mind, like, man, like, I just think about the impact my grandma has made on my life. And, you know, and when I was, I think in maybe first grade, she had colon cancer. Mm-hmm. And I just think about the miracle of God saving her for me. You know, like, it was so tough to watch her go through that, but He saved her. And I bet everyone in her life is saying, He saved her for me. Like, He knew I needed her, you know, but and I think about with Robin, my aunt, how much of an impact she's made and how God just made sure she was present in my life and in Papa. Just, there's so many things that could have happened health-wise with my family, and God protected them for me. And you don't fully appreciate it until you take the time to look back and think about what God has done for your life. So even though I've always had that sense of, like, being very grateful of what God's done for me instead of what He's taken away from me, I will say the past, let's see, if Jolie's going to be 3 in November. So the past 3 years, God and I have been on a journey, because it was, I've never experienced anxiety before. I've never experienced that. And then when I was pregnant with Jolie, you know, it was very nerve-wracking. There was a lot of complications. And then also just, you know, in the back of my mind, the fear of, of, you know, I have a heart issue, not as my mom's was, but I have a heart issue, and just wondering, like, what if what happened to my mom happens to me, and I bring this baby girl into the world and she doesn't have me. And I just, you know, and it was a constant battle every day with God on one shoulder and the devil on the other, and choosing to listen to God instead of the devil. And, but then, you know, when you know, the feeling, and your beautiful baby gets here, and it is just this miracle. And you think about everything that went into your baby being here. And you think about, like, wait a minute, like, this baby just isn't a part of God's plan for me. I'm a part of God's plan for them. Like, this is wild. He has a whole plan for this tiny little baby that I'm in charge of. And he chose me to walk them through life. Like, this is wild. You know, when you become a parent for the first time, it's just like the most mind-blowing thing. And so Jolie, I was so thankful for her. I was really, you know, I wasn't taking that blessing for granted. And wow. Then after she turned a year old, we found out we were pregnant with twins, and we miscarried the twins. And I remember, you know, talking to God, because I have that relationship with him where I just talk to him. And I said, God, I didn't need a kick. I didn't need to wake up and realize how blessed I am. God, why did you do this to me? Like, I didn't need to be reminded to not take life for granted and to take it one day at a time and to know how blessed I am to have everything that I have. I didn't need a wake up call. Why did you do this to me? You know? And it did it. It just made me even more thankful for Jolie, because when you go through a miscarriage, especially if you have a miscarriage after giving birth to a healthy child, then you realize how even more miraculous God is. Because you think about everything that had to work out perfectly for that baby to survive, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And so then, you know, fast forward, that we miscarried the twins in January 5th of 2023, and found out in April that we were pregnant with my son. And you know, I always knew that if I had a son, I would name him Mac. And I had, after the miscarriage, I thought I had prayed, but I just was asking God, like, talk to me. Mm-hmm. I almost felt like demanding of him, you know, like, but I would ask him, I would say, God, if you only want me to have one child, like, please show me that by not allowing me to get pregnant. Please don't show me that by giving me another miscarriage. And I just remember, like, putting my hands together and I just felt his presence. When you get the chills and you know God is with me right now, like, I just want everyone to experience that. So if you're someone listening and you haven't experienced that, get on your hands and knees and talk to God and ask him for things. Like, if that's the number one thing you can walk away from hearing me today, that is what I have learned over the past years, that yes, when we talk to God in our prayers, we're talking to a friend, but he hears us and he wants us to hear him. And over the past year, God has gone out of his way when I didn't deserve it, when I was in doubt and I should have just sucked it up and kept my faith in him and not demanded another sign from him. He still gave me sign after sign. And it's not just where you're looking for it. It's a sign that will slap you in the face, you know?
Yeah. And
that's the biggest part of, I feel like, my testimony that I want people to hear, is just this past year, like, I have been overwhelmed with the power of prayer. So when I prayed to God and asked him that, you know, please don't allow me to get pregnant if your plan is just for us to have one child. And, at that time I had a pretty long drive to work, and that was always my time to worship. And I love to listen to my Elevation Worship and just worship him and talk to him. And I was in, like, bumper to bumper traffic, and I was talking to him, and I was like, God, I feel you with me. Like, I would tell him, like, I want it when you want it. I don't care if I have to wait 10 years. If that's the timing of my next child, that's when it is. And I looked to my left, and right next to me was a Mack truck. It said Mack on the door. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, I hear you. I see you. And then when we found out that we were pregnant with my son and we got the due date, it was January 5th. It was exactly a year from when we found out that we were going to lose the twins. And I just knew, like, that was God telling me, hey, at that, when you were on your knees crying and weeping over losing those twins, I was standing right over you saying, just give me a year. Just give me a year, you know? Mm-hmm. And when you just can't deny that God is speaking to you, you know me, I'm never at a loss for words. And it's a feeling you can't describe. You feel like the only person on this planet, and you can't believe that God is giving you this gift. He's taking the time to make sure you know that you're heard. And he's showing you, look what I'm doing for you. Look how much I love you. Like, look how highly favored you are. And honestly, it's like, I feel like it's almost like when, you know, people say they get like a tattoo and then they're like, then they want to get another one. That's what it feels like. That it's like, I want that feeling again. Like, talk to me again. Like, come put your arms around me again. Give me a sign that I can't deny again, because it is just the most overwhelming feeling of joy where you just feel the joy like radiating through your body. And I want everyone to feel that.
Yes. And you know, there's some people out there that are going, oh, but I don't know how to pray. I know a few that I'm going to send this to. Because listeners and viewers, if you hear somebody that can really get something from this message, and Alex, there's so many out there that can, send this. So I have a few that go, but I don't know how to pray and I don't know what to do. And what I'm hearing from you is just have a conversation. Just say, Lord, look, it's me and you. Please, I want this. I'm not bashful asking. It's on your timing. Help me. And that's how I hear you praying. It's a conversation with an understanding that he loves you. Is that what I'm hearing from you, right?
And then another big thing I've taken away this year is, so for those of you listening, my son, he is beautiful and he is perfect and he is healthy. When we went to our 20-week ultrasound with them, they told us that he had club feet. So born with his feet turned in. And that's something my husband and I weren't familiar with. Once we understood the treatment options, we were fine and we prayed on it. But you know, and I know that dads love their kids, but something, when you're a mom and you're pregnant, you just have this, you have that connection with that baby, and you have this, you know, you feel so responsible. You're like, oh man, I shouldn't have eaten that. You're not allowed to eat that. I shouldn't have had that caffeine.
I see.
So responsible for everything going on. And then you're sitting there going, is it something I did? Did I do this to my baby? And basically, you know, with the club feet thing, they took it and they kind of ran with it, which 87% of the time, if a child is born with club foot, it's completely isolated. But the doctors just took it and ran with it and like, let's meet with genetic counseling. And oh, I think his heart might be enlarged. And oh, he's just such a big baby. He must have an overgrowth syndrome. And I mean, the devil was coming for me. And I really feel like the devil was like, okay, you say you're a Christian. Like, you say you've got all your faith in God. Like, let me see. Because that, hands down, last year was the hardest year of my life. But I'm, you know, the day we found out Mac Hayden had club feet, I couldn't sleep. And I was just up scrolling through my phone. It was like 2:30 in the morning. And I had never heard the song. And the song, Goodness of God, popped up. And I really felt God saying, like, I made sure that this song was going to pop up on your phone, you know? And just the words that it says, all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, don't forget about all those miracles that he has already worked for you. And it helped me so much because I just felt God saying to me, I am the same God that was with Daniel in the lion's den. I'm the same God that was with David when he fought Goliath. If I worked those miracles, if I parted the Red Sea, why can't I do this for you? And I told Grant, why are we sitting here thinking that miracles can only happen in the Bible? So my husband and I, from August 22nd to when my son was born, and we still do get on our hands and knees and pray, but we got on our hands and knees together every night. And I've never done that before. And now I feel like I can't pray if I'm not on my knees. And it's just, it's such an act of bringing everything to God, mm-hmm. getting on your hands and knees. And we would pray every night, and we would pray like, God, please give us a miracle. Please let this ultrasound be wrong. Please let everything they're saying be wrong. And God, if he does have club feet, please let it be the mildest case possible. Please give him a strong mind, a strong and healthy mind, a strong and healthy body. And like, we just prayed it with such intent, and we weren't afraid. Even though I feel like I'm not deserving of a miracle, what I want everyone listening to understand is that God thinks you're worthy of a miracle. He does. He loves you that much, where he wants you to ask him for the unimaginable, for something you think you are not worthy of, because he thinks you're worthy of it. And so, you know, throughout the pregnancy, when I would have my doubts, I would say, God, please give me a sign. And I would say, please give me a sign that I just cannot deny, that I know for a fact it's from you. And I prayed that on Saturday night, and we went to church the next morning. And our worship leader said, this is a new one. We haven't tried this, so bear with us. And they start playing Goodness of God. And I'm like, and that's the first song they play. And I'm like, okay, God, I hear you. My baby's okay. I hear you. And then, you know, Amazing. I got kind of low again. And, you know, the doctors, it was terrible, but they would say to me, yeah, you know, we're really concerned about his size. And then they tell me all the reasons why they were concerned and what syndromes he might have. And then they would say, or maybe he's just the next J.J. Watt. And I'd be like, ha ha, thanks, you know. But then I was low again. I said, God, just, I had two doctors tell me that about J.J. Watt. And I said, God, I'm sorry, but I just want to ask for another sign. Like, please give me another one. I know you gave me one already. I'm just so low. Like, please give me another one. And again at night, I couldn't sleep. And I'm like, I was thinking about what they said about J.J. Watt. I'm like, I wonder if I can find out like how much he weighed when he was born, if he was this crazy big baby, you know? And I was reading, and it was like an excerpt from his mom talking about how she was so uncomfortable during her pregnancy because of how big he was, that he was so big when she was giving birth to him, they had to break his collarbone for him to be born. But then the word said, but how can you stop a Mack truck like J.J. Watt? You know, just for the words to say that. And I'm like,
yeah,
God, I didn't deserve it, and you gave it to me again. And then when Mack Hayden was born and everything, you know, was fine. He did have club feet, but Grant and I would then, instead of getting on our knees and just praying by our bed, we would pray over his feet, you know, and say, please just give us the mildest case possible. And we would also pray, God, whatever suffering he's going to go through, please let us feel the suffering. Please don't let him feel it. Give us all of it. Please don't let him remember any of this where you have to go through your casts and the boots. And that first appointment, the doctor looked at his feet and he said, it is club feet. He said, but it's a very mild case. He said, it's probably one of the mildest cases I've ever seen. And just for God to make sure that doctor said that to me, and for God to love me enough to say, I'm going to make sure you know I heard your prayer. It is just the most overwhelming feeling. And I just, that is like the number one thing from my testimony is that do not be afraid to ask God for a miracle. And we all have our ups and downs with our faith. And during my pregnancy, there were so many ups and downs. And when I was low and I was doubting him and I was letting the devil take over, he still came to my rescue. He didn't punish me because my faith was running on E. He gave me more to get through each day. He literally, and he knew how my brain just was not in the right place. He knew how overwhelmed I was. He knew how I just wasn't capable of really breaking things apart and understanding things. And he made sure I knew he loved me and he heard me. And I can't say right now that I deserved it. I don't think I deserved it. I don't think I was worthy of him going out of his way the way he did. But that's the beauty of it, is that he knows I'm worthy. He thinks I'm worthy. Like, I'm highly favored by the Lord. He, to think that he loves me this the same amount that he loves Mary, who he chose to carry his son. He loves me just as much as he loves her. It is so mind-blowing. And that is how much he loves you. And so now, like when we're praying, you know, at first I was like, okay, you gave me the miracle I needed. I'm not going to ask for any more, you know? But what's funny is when you start to ask God for miracles, right? I encourage you to do it, whatever the miracle is in your life. Ask God for it, because he will also transform your thinking about miracles. Because once I started praying for a miracle, then all of a sudden, I would thank God for the miracle of my family making it home every day. I mean, just thinking about how some people, they're going to work and they get in a car accident. It is a miracle that we make it home safely every night. And I never thought of it like that before. It is a miracle that when my kids aren't with me, that they're being kept safe and that he's watching over them. And then you go and you start to look back in your life and you do see all the miracles he's done for you, even when you didn't ask for them. And it just, this past year, that mindset of I'm worthy of a miracle, it has transformed my life. And so that's why when you asked me to talk today, I was more than happy to, because that's something else. When Grant and I would pray, we would say, God, like, use us. Like, and I would tell God, I would say, I promise you, God, I promise you, I will not be afraid to tell people what you have done for me. Like, I promise you, God, I will give you all the glory. I will use this to give you all the glory. And I want to honor that promise to him, because it just has truly changed my outlook on life.
What a, so many things in there that so many people need to hear. But I started to throw you a bit of a curve too, another one.
Okay.
So I'm going to take you back to something. I sometimes record podcasts in your grandparents' upstairs room. I got to go slow. You've had me throughout this podcast on the, I'm counting numbers in my head because I've had trouble not crying a few times because of what you say and what I needed to hear. So sometimes I record the podcast up there and there's pictures of your mom and Robin and you all over the wall, you know, and I record up there and I get this just great feeling. And I call her G-Ma. I mean, she's not my G-Ma, but I try to work my way in there.
Yeah.
She brings me a ham sandwich, the best ham sandwich I've ever had. Can you back and just tell us about your grandparents?
Okay. They are.
Is that okay for me to ask that? I didn't prep you for that one.
That's great because they are without a doubt the strongest influence on my life. And honestly, what's so funny about it is that, don't get me wrong, anyone listening that knows my grandma knows she'll set you straight in a heartbeat. And she's not afraid to use her words to let you know what you're doing wrong and what you need to straighten up. But so much of their influence is what they've done and what I've watched. And I also think about that. I think about that example that God gave me, and I'm like, I just tell them every night, like, thank you for making me Mac Hayden and Jolie's mom, and I want to be worthy of this. And I just think about the impact they made on me. It's like I said, it, as I've gotten older, realizing, you know, to lose their daughter, no parent should ever have to bury their child, but to lose their daughter and then to still see me as such a blessing. And you know, something that honestly, very, very simple words that really made such an impact on me that I will never forget is, I think it was like my 18th birthday. And I really wanted to use that birthday to like honor my mom. And I wanted to do things in remembrance of her. And I wanted to eat her favorite foods and do her favorite things. And I remember sitting at the counter with my papa, and we were looking through pictures. And for those of you who don't know my grandpa, who I call Papa, he's a big man. He is. And I remember when I was a kid thinking, nobody in the world has hands bigger than my papa. I just remember thinking, like, he's just this big, strong man with these huge hands. And I was sitting next to him, and he lifted his big hand to wipe a tear coming down his cheek. And I just kind of patted his back. Didn't really know what to say, but he said, if I can't have her with me, the only other place I'd rather her be is with Jesus, safe with Jesus. Mm. It's such a simple statement. But to see, and you know what's so funny is that the reason why it made such an impact on me is because I just remember thinking when I was a kid, there's nothing he can't pick up. There's nothing he can't fix. He's the biggest, strongest man I've ever seen. And I've never seen more strength than that moment right there, saying, I'm not going to hold my tears back. And I'm not going to sit here and be tough and not let it show. And he still found a way to give glory to God. And such a simple statement, it made such an impact on me. And to, obviously, I don't know what things were like in the early years, but for them to be able to, in Robin included, for them to all have the strength to talk about my mom and make her such a real person for me, not only do I appreciate it, but that also shows that, of course, they would rather have her here, but they're at peace with what God's plan was. And it may not have been our plan, but they're at peace with it to where they can talk about it without getting emotional, and they can make sure, you know, to go out of their way to really paint a picture of who she was for me. And I'm so thankful for that. And I'm so thankful for that example my papa showed me that day. Like I said, it's funny because it just seems so simple, but it made such an impact because he just saw me. He showed me such a healthy way to give it to God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what strength really looks like. Strength looks like, even if it breaks my heart, I'm going to find a way to give glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to be thankful in my struggles. And I also, one big example that they have shown me is their involvement in church. And when I was younger, they were members of a very big church. And I just remember, you know, Papa's, he's a man of few words, but when he speaks, you listen.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the last person you would ever think would take place in the church play. But every year in that Easter play, he was one of the disciples. And I remember seeing him sitting there on that couch, studying his lines. And he got up in front of that whole congregation, you know, because if he could honor God, he was going to do it. But then now where they are, they're at a church of maybe, you know, 20 or less members. And he's just as involved in that church as he was of his church with hundreds of people. Both of them are just so involved. And that has also shown me a mm-hmm. lot.
Yeah.
That's shown me a lot. So like I said, it's not necessarily, they haven't sat me down and said, this is how we want you to be. And this is what, you know, this is what we think is important. They've just led by example and they've shown me. And I think about it all the time. You know, I'm like, I don't know where I'd be. I don't know what I'd do if I didn't have that example, because they were showing me the whole time of how to be strong with God.
Mm-hmm.
And that strength doesn't mean sucking it up. It means giving it to God.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
And they did. And I do see, you know, God is, they've gone through so many hardships, but I see how God has rewarded them for their faith. I can't remember the exact verse. I know it's in Hebrews, but it's just the verse says, you know, remember your elders and look at what they've done and they've accomplished, and basically says like copy their ways of life, you know. And I just see everything God's done for them and how he's rewarded their faith. And it's made such an impact on me. Such an impact.
You know, I had somebody yesterday I met with, and they say, but once people get to a certain age, they're almost pushed aside and forgotten. And some things you said remind me of it. They're pushed aside and forgotten. And we should never do that.
Mm-hmm.
Not because it's an obligation, because what we can learn. And I want to go back. You know, I was an outsider. And when I was I'm married into the family. So I had a very unique view of it. If you don't mind me kind of summarizing some stuff, I never didn't plan to do with this. So I married into the family from day one, felt welcome. I mean, from the first day I met y'all, I felt welcome. I see this little girl, you, that I go, I'm not sure what's going on here, but she is someone's. She's someone special. She has a special connection. Let me put it that way. She has a light about her. And then shortly after I marry Robin, 6 months, she gets cancer. 6 months later, your grandmother gets cancer. Shortly after, I got to pause at this one too.
Mm-hmm.
Your papa gets cancer.
Right.
And we're down in Charleston, and they take his eye out. And when he came out, you could actually see. You could see what it looks like when an eye's not there. And then they had another round of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my point is the, I mean, and I didn't, you mentioned your mom passing away when she was in childbirth, which I cannot comprehend the pain of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the only reason I share it, that happened before I was there, but it was, here's my point. It was a steady, their love, their faith is steady.
Yes.
It's a steady, solid base of love and faith through all that they've been through. And I'm not so sure I know very few people that have been through as much. They've never wavered. It's consistent and it's steady.
And it's made such an impact on me because they never said to me, hey, despite going through this, our faith is steady. Or in the midst of these troubles, you know, we still have our faith. They showed me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it sticks with you. And I am so thankful for that example now that I'm a parent. I am so thankful because I saw it, you know. And another thing, I've just simply looking at Papa's Bible, it is worn down. And, you know, it's funny because it looks exactly how a Bible should look.
Yeah.
It is worn down because he has, I know he's read it all the way through twice. There's so many things highlighted in there, so many notes taken. And, you know, it's funny too, this morning with this podcast, I thought, well, you know, I could stay at work because I've got recess from 10:30 to 11. So I could do it then, or when my kids are at PE. And I thought about Papa. And I remember being in college and I just thought I was just the world's best Christian because I had a devotional and I had Jesus Calling and I read Jesus Calling every morning. And so I just thought that made me the world's best Christian. And I was so happy to tell him, like, God or Papa, like, my New Year's resolution is to get closer with God and I'm using Jesus Calling. And do you want to do the devotional with me this morning? And he said he would. And then we sat down for breakfast at his house at the bar in the kitchen, and they had the TV on to watch breakfast. And I went and got my devotional. And he just looked at me and he said, "We're eating breakfast." And he goes, "We'll do the devotional after." And I just was like, okay. You know, I didn't really know what he meant by it when he said that. And then, like I said, it's not what he says, it's what he does. So when we're done with breakfast, he goes and he gets his daily devotional and he gets his Bible and he gets his pen. And we go into the living room with the TV off. We sit next to each other and he didn't have to say it. I had the revelation right there. Hold on. Devotional means you're devoting your time to God.
Oh,
he's looking at me going, "We're eating breakfast. Like, we're not going to do a devotional and eat breakfast. We're going to do this. We're going to do this." And he showed me. And I literally thought of him like, no, I want to devote. If I'm giving all the glory to God, I want to devote my time. I want to devote all my energy. I don't want to squeeze this in. I want to ask God to speak through me. And so just that just made an impact on me today. You know, 32 years old, about the importance of, you don't squeeze God in, you devote time to him, you know? So like you said, their faith has been so steady. And just like how he mentioned, how Jodan mentioned that when my papa lost his eye, it is, he is just honestly, he's a walking testimony is what he is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because when he lost his eye, they took a piece from his arm to cover up the spot on of where he lost his eye. So you see this man that he's got scars on his face. He's got a patch, and he's got a big scar on his arm, and he's still here and he's still worshiping God. And I'm like, wow, like he is a walk. You can look at him. You can look at him and see what he's gone through. You don't have to ask him. You can look at him and know he's gone through something, and he is still here ready to worship God. And I know that God, I say, I know God saved them for me, which I know that there's so many people saying that, because he is such a disciple of God. He truly is.
He is. And it's your day off, and I'm taking a lot of time, but I'm going to describe something, and then I want you to take us home, at least for now.
Okay.
And it goes back to what they said. I gotta go slow with this one, because they altered the direction of this podcast. And I'm gonna tell you why they did. Because I started having more and more experiences like you did, like the Holy Spirit showing up through connections with people and prayers being answered. And I was, we have, again, this is the first time we've communicated one-on-one, and I'm somewhat soft-spoken and a little bashful and introverted around groups. That's, people can take it as a little bit stand out. I'm just by nature bashful. When it's around groups, I just kind of, you know, cruise in and listen to hang out. And so I was meeting. I was on the back porch with your grandparents and Robin. And I just, for whatever reason, got on this kick. I said, you know, I don't know what's going on here, but, and I can't remember where the verse is. Alex is like a man that finds a pearl, a pearl in a field, and he sells everything he owns to buy the pearl, or whatever the verse is. And I was going, I don't know. You know, I've had these experiences, and the Holy Spirit starts moving, and he's talking, and these guests are talking about the Holy Spirit. And I was just, the introverted was behind the scenes and done. And I was feeling, I don't know why that we don't talk more about the Holy Spirit in relationship with Jesus Christ and praying, and like you just did on this. This is why the importance of this. I was like, I don't know why we don't share this anymore. We have to share this. Why don't we hear more about this?
Right.
And then I paused. And in typical Papa fashion, he looked at me and he said, well, maybe it's because a lot of people just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, well, Alex, what you just shared is will help people know. But in his steadfast, consistent, loving, walking witness kind of way, he, in one sentence, he redirected the way I communicate when I have the opportunity.
Right.
And that says, right? That's what,
right.
That's what it's all about. And that's what you just did. That's right. What you've done.
It's a daily discipline to choose to have that mindset, but it is so, and I just, like I said, I'm a sucker for deep conversations. I'm not a sucker for getting emotional. That's not me, but I am a sucker for deep conversations, but I just, you know, I just wanted to lay it all out there, because like I said, if it just reaches one person, like just the revelation of you are so highly favored by the Lord. And I promise you, to put it simply, when you put everything in God's hands and you surrender, you will see his hands in everything. He'll show, and you'll realize he's been there all along and you just didn't see it. But when you're in the mindset of, I give it all to you, God, you'll find him in the tiniest of ways. You'll find him in big ways, and you'll find him in the smallest of ways. And you'll see that he is truly with you all the time. And even on your bad days, when you are not being the ideal Christian, he still shows up. And miracles aren't just meant for the biblical times. And just because it might not seem like a miracle to someone else doesn't mean it's not a miracle to you. God knows your heart. He knows what you consider a miracle. And God rewards us for our faith. He rewards us for our faith. Like, and if you're someone that doesn't know how to pray, all you have to do is start. And I do, if you're someone that doesn't know how to pray, if you have someone in your life that you know is faithful in prayer, ask them to pray out loud with you. Don't be afraid to pray out loud with them. It's so eye-opening to pray with someone else, like just with me and my husband praying together. I will never forget the first time we prayed together. He thanked God for the air we breathe. And I'm like, I've never done that. I'm like, you're so thankful for the air we breathe. And I'm, oh my gosh, I never even thought to do that. Like, it'll like completely open your eyes. And then you'll see that you're not alone, that we do. We stumble in our prayer. Sometimes we are at a loss for words. But the beauty of it is God knows what we're going to say before we say it. And just devoting that time of prayer, no distractions. You're not squeezing him in. Getting on your hands and knees. Coming to him with thankfulness. And then, because honestly, it's like, let's have enough faith in him to ask him for a miracle, because he's capable of them. You know, if he could part the Red Sea, he can do this for me, because he loves me just as much as he loved Moses. He can do this for me. And if one person can just have that realization today, that would be enough for me, that you are so highly favored by God. And that you
Thank
are
you, Alex. That you're what? What? That you're what? That you're worth. What?
Say. That you are worth a miracle.
Thank you, Alex.
You're welcome.
And I look forward to seeing you whenever that is. I guess the holidays, hopefully. It's around the holidays sometime.
Yes.
But I'll see you soon. Thank you.
Okay.
And this concludes another episode of the Circle of the Panda podcast. I hope you found this conversation with Alex Lewis helpful. If you need to find me, you can find me at circleofthepandapodcast.com, or you can email me directly at jd@circleofthepanda.com. Thank you. Wish you all the best and peace to you.